Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in 1 week. It comes out in 1 week.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Welcome to the Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist coming to you live from Created Equal Studios here in Columbus, Ohio. And folks, we're going to talk about the new abortion civil war today. Abortion civil war. Now, a lot of people are talking about what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the events of the last several days as it relates to the protests and the violence and the hatred and the division and the racism that took place in Charlottesville and the aftermath of that with President Trump. Well, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about where America is truly divided, truly racist. And that, to me, poses the greatest threat to us having another civil war. See, there are people in America that want to start a racist war. There's no doubt about that, right? You've got those white supremacists, how many there are, I don't know. And then you have the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and others who, in my view, would like nothing else but to start another civil war. But that's not the story, really. I mean, that's a contrived story for the most part by the fake news that serves the political gains or political agenda of the left. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to be talking about the news behind the news, the real racism, the real threat to America and dividing it and maybe leading it to a civil war. And that is Planned Parenthood and abortion. Planned Parenthood and abortion. And today, my good friend Ryan Bromberger, if you would, Mr. Producer, put his picture up here. Ryan Bromberger, this is where we want to start. We're going to cover a lot of ground today, but we're going to talk about how Planned Parenthood are the real racists, how Planned Parenthood are really igniting a true American civil war, and how also states are dividing over this. The United States is no longer the United States, the divided states of America over abortion. We're going to talk about these things today, but Ryan Bromberger, who is the executive director of the Radiance Foundation, wrote a piece today that was released in regards to this debate over the Confederate flag and these statues and all that stuff and the fight and the violence took place in Charlottesville, Virginia. And as you can tell by the photo, Ryan is an African-American. He's biracial, by the way. And he wrote this piece. And folks, I'm going to go over a little bit of it, but I'm going to exhort you to read this. I think this is one of the most powerful pieces dealing with this problem of racism in America, coming from a Christian viewpoint. The news behind the news. Don't turn off CNN and the fake news. Don't go to the cable news outlets for your news. Don't go there. Go online and read stuff coming from guys like Ryan Bromberger. You know, it's interesting that Planned Parenthood and NARAL and all the rest came out and you know, decrying the violence in Charlottesville, saying that this is just another aspect of the war against women and hatred and bigotry. And they tied it to so-called reproductive rights. And then they went on to say that the pro-life movement is quiet. They're silenced. They're not talking about this. Well, it's not true. It's not true. And here's a good example. Ryan Bromberger writing this piece today that was released in Life News. Now, here's Ryan's point. Here's what he says in this piece here. And again, I exhort you to go to Life News and read it for yourself after the show. But he says this, a couple things, which I think are very profound. The first thing is that the party of slavery are the Democrats. They're the ones who ushered in slavery. They're the ones who tried to keep it legal. It was Republicans, if you remember. Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, who ended slavery. So, the idea that the Democrats' hands are clean on this is a farce. So he talks about them being the party of slavery, Democrats being the party of Jim Crow. And he goes on to say, if you want to tear down the vestiges of slavery and racism and bigotry and segregation, don't tear down monuments of Robert E. Lee. Don't do that. We ought to be tearing down monuments or vestiges to Planned Parenthood, who is the largest abortion provider in America and are truly racist and have racist background. He says that Planned Parenthood kills 260 unarmed African Americans every day. Now think about that. Planned Parenthood, largest abortion provider, kills 260 unarmed Black Americans every single day. Now, is there another organization or group that comes close to that? I mean, you can say what you want about white supremacists and neo-Nazis and the so-called alt-right, which, by the way, we all condemn. I mean, there's just no question whether 99% of Americans condemn them. But they're not killing African Americans, are they? Planned Parenthood is, 260 of them every single day. And he says, if you wanna take on racism, let's take on Planned Parenthood, who really dehumanizes people, not just by calling them names and bigotry and that. No, they kill them. They actually kill African Americans in the womb. And he goes on to say that this whole idea of tearing down monuments and stuff isn't going to heal America. What's going to heal America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not this faux outrage against monuments. I mean, that's not the problem. So I think Ryan does a really good job in this piece here, and I exhort you to go to Life News and read it after the program. Ryan Bomberger, again, with Radiance Foundation. But he brings up a very good point, and I want to spend a little bit of time on this. And I want to talk about Margaret Sanger, who is the founder of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger. Let's talk about Margaret Sanger. The real racists are Planned Parenthood. The real dividers in America are Planned Parenthood by killing babies and disproportionately killing African-American babies. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about Planned Parenthood. And by the way, Planned Parenthood's founder wrote these things in the 1900s, not in the 1800s, like Robert E. Lee, or not the Civil War period. That's not Planned Parenthood's around today. So here's what Margaret Sanger believed. Let's talk about this, because she's the real divider. She's the real racist. And Planned Parenthood is just fulfilling her vision. She called African Americans human weeds. She referred to African Americans as reckless breeders that should have never been born. Now, you can say what you want, but this is the founder of Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in America, that gets almost $500 million in federal tax dollars every year, and yet this is what the founder believed. She believed in eugenics. She said, quote, less from the fit, more from the unfit. She launched the Negro Project, in which she was trying to recruit Black pastors, because she understood the Black church was the answer to her eugenics worldview, to try to usher in this perfect world, right? So she recruited African-American pastors as part of the Negro Project to eliminate Black births by sterilization. Now, that sounds awful racist to me, but we're not talking about Margaret Sanger today, are we? We're talking about this fake news, this stuff that's contrived by the left and their minions in the media to divide America and balkanize us further for political gain. Don't get me wrong. This is all about political gain for them right now. If it weren't about political gain, we'd be talking about Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger being the racists that they are. And if we really want to talk about white supremacy, let's talk about Planned Parenthood. Let me go on here. Planned Parenthood, currently, this is today, 79% of all of Planned Parenthood facilities are in minority neighborhoods. Now, that's for a reason. Why? Because they are fulfilling the vision of Margaret Sanger by killing more of the unfit and less of the fit. 13 million African Americans have died by abortion since 1973. 33% of all abortions are perpetrated on African American babies, which only, as far as the population goes, 13% of the American population is made up of African Americans. So a disproportionate, highly disproportionate number of African American babies are killed by abortion. This sounds like a racist agenda to me. Going further than that, if we want to start tearing down monuments, if we want to start tearing down the vestiges of racism and white supremacy and neo-Nazism and anti-Semitism and all that stuff, because, by the way, Margaret Sanger believed in the in Adolf Hitler. She read Mein Kampf. Where do you think she got these ideas? So she was a Nazi in many respects. If we want to tear down the vestiges of racism, let's tear down the statues of Margaret Sanger. Let's start there. What about all the squares that are named after her? There's one in New York City named Margaret Sanger Square. We have Margaret Sanger Boulevards in America. I mean, where's the outrage there? Planned Parenthood is killing African-American babies now. And they're fulfilling the racist agenda of Margaret Sanger now. So why don't we tear them down? Well, frankly, there was an attempt, at least, to deal with this problem by a group of African-American pastors. And Mr. Producer, if you would bring up that page, it says the Sanger page. This is a, you know, if you've been to Washington, D.C., you know that there is they had been constructing an African-American museum as part of the Smithsonian Institution, and this museum has been completed. It's been completed, and there is a portion, a section of this museum, which is called the Struggle for Justice, which is supposed to honor those of the past who were champions of justice. And so they have this statue of Margaret Sanger in the African American museum, the Smithsonian Museum. Okay, and my point is this: and these African American pastors who objected to this wrote a letter to the director of the Smithsonian, asking them to remove this monument or this statue of Margaret Sanger. And as you can imagine, unfortunately, she refused. She refused. And if you would, Mr. Producer, go down to the article there. I'm going to read the reason why they refused to remove the bust of Margaret Sanger. It says this. This is responding to these African-American pastors who said having Margaret Sanger in the African-American museum there in the Smithsonian is racist and it's offensive and so forth. This is their response from the Smithsonian. Quote, I received your letter regarding the gallery that brings attention to major cultural and political figures from the 19th century. Let me start over on that. I received your letter regarding the legacy of Margaret Sanger and respectfully declined to remove her portrait from the museum. The Struggle for Justice, which is the name of the gallery, brings attention to major cultural and political figures from the 19th century to the present day who fought to achieve civil rights, think about that, for disenfranchised or marginalized groups. I mean, think about that. Now, of course, she's referring to the disenfranchised and marginalized groups of the 19th century being women. I mean, that's what she's referring to. But there's a little bit of a blind spot here. What about the disenfranchised African-Americans that she called human weeds, that she said that we ought to be eliminating them through sterilization? What about them? It's ironic in some ways and tragic that Margaret Sanger is honored in the African-American Museum at the Smithsonian. And that was the point of these pastors writing the letter and asking them to remove her bust, her statue. So if we really want to start tearing down the vestiges and the statues and the remembrances of racism, let's start with Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, who are the arch racists of American culture that are perpetrating the killing of unborn children, specifically the African-American race, at a disproportionate rate. Let's start there if we're going to start tearing down vestiges of racism. Margaret Sanger said that they were reckless breeders. She said they were spawning human beings who should have never been born. She said we should apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation to the grade of population whose progeny is tainted. She's referring to African Americans. Margaret Sanger is a racist, yet we honor her in the Smithsonian. But a statue of Robert E. Lee, well, that's going too far. That, you know, that was almost 150 years ago. And we have a few of these, white supremacist neo-Nazis down there trying to defend that statue. And again, I'm not defending them. We just got this faux outrage about this supposed racism that's happening in America, when we're ignoring the greatest offense to American culture and division in our nation, which is abortion and specifically the targeting of African Americans. So, you know, this is really what I consider to be the new civil war, not the war between the white race and African Americans, but the war of abortion, the killing of preborn children, and the singling out, the targeting of African Americans by Planned Parenthood. So, you know, let's be talking about that. I'd like to see a group of African Americans go into the Smithsonian and tear down Margaret Sanger's trophy or statue. Let's do that. Let's see how that gets covered by the mainstream media. Let's see that happen. I mean, that's the kind of outrage that ought to be taken. But see, we don't do that. We try to work through the processes that are available to us, and we do it in a peaceful manner, which I suggest we do. But anyway, that piece there by Ryan Bomberger in Life News, I think everybody ought to go and read it. Really zeroes in on the true racism, and that this whole thing about the outrage in Charlottesville is misguided, and the real racism is Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. Now, I'm talking about the divided states of America today and how America is heading towards a new civil war, if you will. But it's likely not going to be over what we see in the mainstream media, which I think is fake for the most part, even though there are divisions in the races, of course, and there always will be. The real battle is over abortion and over Planned Parenthood and how they are the number one racist organization in America. And they're funded by our tax dollars, and Hollywood loves them and everybody else, you know. But what I want to do is I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about what's happening state by state by state, because we really do have the divided states of America. Yesterday, two things happened that demonstrate this. Two things happened. The first thing that happened was that the governor in Texas, Greg Abbott, and if you would, Mr. Producer, bring up that next article, Texas page, about the Texas law that was passed. The divided states of America. Here you have the state of Texas passing a law that will defund abortion. In other words, it prohibits insurance providers from forcing taxpayers to fund abortion. So on the one hand, you have the state of Texas, which is a red state, conservative state, saying that passing a law prohibiting insurers from providing abortions by the insurance companies. You have that on the one hand. And on the second hand, on the other hand, you have Oregon, which is a blue state, a liberal state, very liberal state, passing a law that healthcare insurers must provide free abortions to every Oregonian. Every Oregonian now, if they want, can get a free abortion funded by the government through their insurance companies. So here you have it. One state prohibiting the funding of abortion through insurance policies and the providers, Texas, and the other state, Oregon, funding abortion, giving free abortions to those Oregonians who want to have them, including, by the way, illegal aliens. Think about this. Illegal aliens in the state of Oregon now it's available for them to have a free abortion funded by the government through their insurance policy. I mean, think about that. It's unbelievable. So if you would, Mr. Producer, bring up that article. And basically, we have this. You have a woman with a sign that says, free abortions on demand without apology. Free abortions on demand without apology. Unbelievable. Free abortions on demand without apology. So it's not bad enough that we're killing babies and women can do that and pay for it on their own. That's not bad enough, right? To me, that's as bad as it gets. But now it has to be free. And by the way, nothing's free, right? The government pays for it, which means the taxpayers pay for it. So it's not really a free abortion. Someone's paying for it. It's just not this apparently lesbian woman who's holding the sign. She's not paying for it. By the way, if she's lesbian, why does she care? I mean, I'm stereotyping her a bit, but it's very likely that she is. Why does she care? Free abortions are not free. Taxpayers are paying for them. On demand. That means at the moment I want it, and I want it now. I want it now, and I don't want anybody to tell me I can't have it, and it needs to be free. It needs to be paid for by the government. I want you, the taxpayer, to be forced to pay for my abortion when I want it, how I want it, where I want it. On demand, right? Without apology. That means any kind of abortion, late-term abortion, it doesn't matter. I want you to pay for it now, and I don't want any limitations on it. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is what's going on in America. This is the divided states of America. You have Texas banning the funding of abortions, and you have Oregon giving so-called free abortions to anybody who wants them on demand without apology, including illegal aliens. And my point is this. This is the divided states of America. This is what the Supreme Court set up in 1973 when they handed down the decision of Roe versus Wade. They divided America. Why? Because one decision for hundreds of millions of Americans decided the issue of abortion in one day at that moment. And then we have been left ever since debating this state by state by state, fighting amongst each other. And the federal government continually jumps in when these laws are passed, like in the state of Texas, which more than likely this defunding of abortion through the healthcare insurance, more than likely you're going to see a court jump in, a judge jump in and rule it unconstitutional and put an injunction on the law going into effect. More than likely that's going to happen. So we've had this federal government through Roe v. Wade for now 45 years battling with the state legislatures and others on the abortion issue. Now we have this extremes of Oregon who says it's free on demand without apology for illegal aliens. And you have Texas outlawing it as far as the funding goes from insurance providers. So this is what was set into place in Roe versus Wade. Okay. Now, if the Supreme Court wouldn't have ruled on Roe and they would have done the right thing and said the state of Texas has the constitutional authority to outlaw abortion if they wish, then we would have been in a lot better position. We would have this patchwork of abortion law. It wouldn't have been ultimately where we wanted to go, which would be a human life to human life amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But at least you'd have the federal government out of the way. You'd have individual states making their own abortion policy, which, by the way, is biblical, because in the Bible it talks about how murder is dealt with locally by the community. The closer it is, closer the crime is to the people, they're the ones who actually ought to be dealing with it. But what we've had, unfortunately, again, is 45 years the federal government dictating to states what they can and cannot do. And so we're having this battle between the state legislatures across the country and the Supreme Court and others jumping in and telling the states they can't do certain things, they can do others. Folks, here's the thing. Think about this. In Oregon, abortion supporters generally are for so-called choice, right? The freedom of choice, right? Freedom of choice. Well, what about, if I'm a taxpayer in Oregon, what about my choice? What about my choice to not fund your killing of your baby on demand without apology? Even if you're an illegal alien, I've got to fund that now. What about choice when it comes to that? You're forcing taxpayers in Oregon to pay for something they find abhorrent. But these pro-choice, so-called pro-choice people think this is great, right? Abortion should be free, on demand, without any apology, without any limits, and illegal aliens should be able to have them. How is that choice? How is that choice? If I were a taxpayer in Oregon, I could tell you this. I wouldn't be paying my taxes. I would cease from paying them. I would do it as an act of civil disobedience, as an act of obedience to God, that I am not going to put money towards the killing of preborn babies. I'm just not going to do it. But, I mean, this is what's happening in the country, where we've got this clash between individual state legislatures, one on the one hand passing restrictions, others on the other hand, you know, no limits, free abortions without apology, on demand, and including illegal aliens. So that's what's happening in the states. That's what's happening with this issue of racism, with Planned Parenthood being the number one abortion provider, killing hundreds of African-American babies every day. And then finally, I want to deal with this issue that's happening right now in the state of Ohio, specifically Toledo, with this abortion clinic, Capital Care Network in Toledo, which in 2013 was ordered to close because they were unable to provide what they call a transfer agreement. A transfer agreement is a requirement by the state legislature here in Ohio for ambulatory surgical centers. It doesn't single out abortion clinics. It's for any ambulatory surgical center. And this type of law has actually been in place for a long time. But they finally applied it to abortion clinics and said, if you are an ambulatory surgical center, if you're an abortion clinic, you have to have a transfer agreement, which is a written agreement that allows the seamless transfer of a patient from the abortion clinic to a local hospital. And they define local by being within 30 miles of the abortion clinic. Well, the Toledo Capital Care Clinic was unable to secure a transfer agreement. They had it for a while with one of the hospitals there, which was 52 miles away. They had one with, I don't know, the University of Michigan Hospital, but they all they either dropped it or the law was rewritten to make local mean 30 miles. Bottom line is this: Toledo Capital Care Network, the abortion mill in Toledo, is on the verge of being shut down finally because they are unable to find a hospital to provide them a transfer agreement. Well, of course, when this law was passed, it was immediately challenged in court by pro-abortion attorneys, and it has made its way to the Ohio Supreme Court. The Ohio Supreme Court. And so, Mr. Producer, if you would bring up that clinic page, it basically outlines what's going on here. And that is that this law has been struck down by the lower courts, has been struck down by the 6th District Court, and now the Ohio Supreme Court's going to hear the case. They're going to hear the case on September 12th. And what's interesting about this is that those abortion advocates are really, really worried that they're going to lose. They're going to lose. And that is because I think there's probably a majority on the court that are so-called Republican, more than likely. By the way, state Supreme Court justices are elected. They're not appointed or nominated by the governor. They're actually elected. And so there's one specific Supreme Court justice. Her name is Justice Sharon Kennedy, to which all the abortion lobby groups like NARAL, the pressure groups, NARAL, Progress Ohio, Planned Parenthood, all the others, have said that she needs to recuse herself. She needs to not be on the case, not hearing the case, not rendering the judgment, because, get this, because she spoke at a Toledo Right to Life banquet. I mean, oh my gosh, it's awful. She's horrible. She shouldn't be able to judge on this case. She shouldn't be able to hear this case. She shouldn't be able to decide this case, or at least be part of that decision, because she spoke at a Right to Life banquet. It's unbelievable. Since when did judges lose their First Amendment right to free speech? Since when can't they have their own personal opinion on things? She wasn't speaking as an official representation of the Supreme Court of Ohio. She was doing it as an individual. And when did we lose our right to free speech and expression simply because we hold a position on a court, the Supreme Court for that matter, on Ohio or the federal Supreme Court in Washington, D.C.? When did people lose their own personal opinions? It's just the hypocrisy is amazing here. She spoke at a Right to Life function, and yet they're calling for her to be recused because of that. Now, let me just show you. By the way, this is going to happen on September 12th. Just let me show you how hypocritical this is. Remember Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Remember the gay marriage decision that was ruled on a while back? What was that, almost 2 years ago? There were those who in the conservative movement who are in part of the pro-family movement that called for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, U.S. Supreme Court justice, to recuse herself from that case. Of course, these same organizations said, no, she should be able to have her own personal opinions on this. That doesn't taint her ability to rule justly or rightly. It's just funny how the tables turn when it comes to their justices. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, not only, she didn't speak at a function supporting gay marriage like the Human Rights Campaign. She actually she presided over a service marrying a gay couple. I mean, and if you do, you have that photo, Mr. Producer? I'm not sure you do. Of her, she officiated. Okay, she officiated a gay marriage. I mean, before she ruled on the case at the Supreme Court, yet very few people were calling for her to recuse herself. On abortion itself, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you would think that people would call for her to recuse herself based on her opinions on Roe versus Wade. Here's what she said on that. Now, think about this. She said this. Now, she's outspokenly pro-abortion. We know that, right? over her tenure there on the U.S. Supreme Court, outspokenly pro-abortion, has basically supported Roe v. Wade since she was nominated by Bill Clinton, right? We know that. She should be recusing herself from every single abortion case that comes to the Supreme Court. But no, nobody brings that up. Here's what she said regarding Roe v. Wade. Frankly, I had thought at the time Roe was decided there was a concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations we don't want to have too many of. Now, not only is she pro-abortion, which should be a concern, but she's also obviously racist. She's saying that abortion was used to eliminate, or the concern was over a growth of the populations we don't want to have too many of. What's she talking about there? You talking about minorities? Probably. Not only is Ruth Bader Ginsburg pro-abortion, but she's a racist. Yet nobody's calling for her to recuse herself in these abortion decisions. The point of the matter is, it's convenient for the left and the pro-aborts to try to go after this Ohio Supreme Court Sharon Kennedy simply because she spoke at a Right to Life banquet. But when the tables are turned and we have a pro-abort sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is outspokenly pro-abortion and obviously racist by this comment here, no one calls for her to recuse herself from the other side. No one does that. It just shows it's all politics as usual. Politics as usual, using race, using abortion politics to advance your agenda. That's what's going on. That's why we have a divided states of America. That's why we have states like Texas passing restrictions and states like Oregon giving away free abortions on demand without apology and to illegal aliens. That's why we have this faux outrage and fake news coming out of Charlottesville, right, Virginia. But the real story is Planned Parenthood and their continual targeting of African Americans. Racist organization with the founder, Margaret Sanger, saying she believed that African Americans were human weeds and they ought to be sterilized and that kind of thing. And that Planned Parenthood's abortion business are founded primarily in minority neighborhoods and they kill a disproportionate number or percentage of African Americans in light of the overall population. Those are the real stories that are happening, not what's coming out of the fake news. Turn that off. Listen to and find real news that you can find on the internet and also on shows like this. That's where you're going to find it. So, folks, here's the bottom line. I exhort you to go read Ryan Bomberger's piece there in Life News today talking about if you want to deal with white supremacists, let's deal with Planned Parenthood. Go read that, and I think you'll get the true story of what's happening in America and the real threat to this country for a civil war, and that is the existence of the white supremacist group Planned Parenthood. And secondarily, be praying for us and praying for this decision of the Ohio Supreme Court as it relates to this Toledo abortion mill and the transfer agreement. If the Supreme Court of Ohio upholds the right of Ohio to hold them to the same standards as other ambulatory surgical centers, then this Toledo abortion mill will be shut down. And that's what we're praying for. That's what we're hoping for. That's going to be happening on September 12th. Mr. Producer, if you would bring up those events that are coming up. So we've got the September 12th. This battle here in Toledo. So I want you to stay tuned to the Mark Harrington Show and follow us on our Facebook page about more that's going to be coming forward regarding these two things, Toledo transfer agreement issue and also the buffer zone, the attempt to enact an ordinance there to put in a buffer zone in Toledo. So that's all I have for you today, folks. Shut off your TVs. go to the sources you know you can trust, and one of them is Ryan Bomberger today. I think this piece really speaks to the real issue of what's happening in America when it comes to racism, white supremacism, and the neo-Nazi issue. So we'll see you next time. Tune in every Thursday here at 1 p.m. on The Mark Harrington Show here on Facebook and other media platforms. We come to you live here from Columbus, Ohio, the headquarters of Created Equal, 1 p.m. Eastern Time here on Facebook and other media platforms. We'll see you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.